I think what excites me the most is everything that's happening in the food and agriculture sector. I think that that's a really fast-moving sector, and I think that a lot of the innovations that are coming out from there are really exciting in the sense of, big brands are chipping in, and also these fun new startups. Thinking of regenerative farming, or things like insect proteins, or lab-grown meat. That I think is really exciting. And obviously, food is never going to go out of style. We
Purpose
need it.
projects.
And also the fact that we need to feed people sustainably is probably one of the biggest questions that we have.
Welcome to another brand new episode of Purpose Projects, the podcast with the sustainably good stuff. As you might already know, my name is Boris, and I'm passionate about all things PR and communications fixated on green and sustainable solutions.
And my name is Moritz. I work in the innovation industry, where I'm especially passionate about sustainable business models. And here, everyone knows it. Teamwork makes the dream work, and that's exactly why we invited Izzy Abeck from Business of Purpose today. Business of Purpose, or short BOP, is a business network for purpose entrepreneurs and purpose-driven people in general, I guess. And Izzy is a true sustainability trend analyst. So you guys are going to hear a lot of new trends. You're going to experience like a very joyful guest. I'm very happy about it. And I'm guessing you guys will have an awesome time with her as well. Enjoy. And also don't forget to subscribe.
Today, we have the privilege to talk to someone who actually studied radio and television, plus also is a podcast host herself for the Business of Purpose podcast. So this should definitely be a cakewalk for you, Izzy. Welcome to the Purpose Projects podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Of course, I'm not here with my equipment, but I promise that I do podcasting. I just don't have the microphone with me today.
That's okay. That's okay. You can prove that through your knowledge rather than through your technology. That's okay with us. So, yeah, definitely. So starting off, maybe just how are you actually, and where do we find you at the moment?
So I'm doing quite well. I had a lovely, productive day today. I am currently in Berlin at our co-working space, Factory Berlin in Görlitzer Park. Had soup for lunch, and I love soup. So,
all right. So you're actually here in Germany, but people can already tell you're a native speaker. So I think we're going to know all about your origin and how you landed here in the podcast. I want to start off with your academic career path, because it's quite nice, actually. You studied English, then radio and TV, and then I did a master's in sustainable innovation. But the best fun fact I found on your LinkedIn, you listed it there, you played in a Quidditch team.
Oh, gosh, so that's a deep dive.
Yeah. So what house are you in?
Oh my goodness. I still actually have my wallet card, because when you play competitively in Quidditch tournaments, you have to be part of what's called the International Quidditch Alliance.
You have like a license and everything, or?
I have a license to drive my broomstick, yeah. The best part is that I joined the Quidditch team for a couple years when I was in Toronto. And my university was downtown Toronto. And when we would host Quidditch matches, they always, in the beginning, tell you the boundaries of where the snitch could go. So technically, the snitch is just a person dressed up in all gold. And one
time, have you been the snitch before?
I have not. I cannot run fast enough. No one wants me to be the snitch. But one time, because we're so close to the metro station, the snitch jumped the turnstiles and went onto the metro to run away. And so they had to then, in that match, write in the rule books that no snitches were allowed on public transport. And that's something that happened at a Ryerson game. So, fun fact.
That's a even more fun fact than we even found out. And do you have like Gryffindor versus Slytherin, or is it just like house of your university?
It's just, yeah, the houses are our universities. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. On a more serious note, you did your transition from film and music to finding yourself like knee deep in sustainable trends and researching. How did that transition work, and why did you even do that transition?
Yeah, it's a great question. So ever since I was really young, I always wanted to have my own voice. So from the age of, I think, 6 or 7, I wanted to be a foreign correspondent, actually. So I wanted to pursue journalism. My parents thought that I was a super dramatic teenager, so they said I should be an actress. I didn't like being in front of the camera, so I thought being behind the camera would be a suitable career path. And so I applied for this dream program, and all in the name of, you know, giving people voices or perspectives, kind of highlighting those people that usually don't have a chance to, because I truly believe, and especially nowadays, that media holds so much influence and power over people, and I wanted to be part of that. So I pursued this career in media production, fell in love with the medium, and, you know, worked on a few films, TV shows, ended up working for Canada's longest running music festival. And I truly loved it. I have to say, no complaints. What a time to be alive in your early 20s working in the music industry. It's really awesome, you can imagine. But when I had time outside of work, I would track what I did. And that was happening near the end of that career stage. And I just found myself gravitating towards other new sources, being more interested in business. I worked for a nonprofit organization, and I think I kept getting frustrated working in government. And I was quite naive at that point to think, and even in a country like Canada, that the government held a lot of power. And more I saw that big corporations do and business does. And I think that transition in mindset also caused this transition in my career. So I had never been to business school. don't really have the business acumen at that point. But I one night came home, was feeling really sad. I saw this program in Barcelona. I applied for it, didn't tell anyone, didn't think I would get in, got in miraculously, and then just up and left to Barcelona. And the whole, I guess, point of me doing that move and transition was because I wanted to work in business, because earlier I thought, okay, media is where the influence is, and I still believe media does hold a great influence over people, but I really think that where a lot of our policies can shift and how we can make a lot of changes through business. So that's how I ended up here.
And now we're talking, so it's all fine in the end. It's a remarkable story and switch, actually. And you mentioning Barcelona right now is also very interesting, because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you have lived, I think, in 8 different countries. So that's sort of like proof also for your rather broadened perspective, not only on the job or professional side of things, but also in terms of that would be my guess, are interested in other countries, cultures, and also people. Could you just, out of pure interest at first, name all of those countries that you have lived in and why? Okay, Spain and Germany and Canada we have already, I think.
I guess
only 5 left.
3, France, Switzerland, Japan. Oh gosh, There was a small stint in the United States. Oh gosh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, in England. There you go. That's the 8th one.
Okay, you're right. What a time to be alive in your 20s. That's actually true. Yeah.
Very privileged. But that was from when I was born. So not just me being someone with a lot of wanderlust in my 20s. That was my
parents' but nevertheless, fault. Nevertheless, it's quite remarkable. And I think that's that only benefits one as a person and as a personality, I think, for character also. So looking at that rather from now a professional side of things, you had jobs in marketing, consulting, and now since last year, I think you're a sustainability trend analyst at TrendWatch and also the head of resources and insights at BOP, Business of Purpose. That's two rather fancy job titles, I would call it. But what's the job actually like, and what are you actually doing on a daily basis?
Yeah, excellent question, because I think my mom always asks that too. She's, what do you do again? I'm trying to explain it to my friends. What do you do? So I guess a little bit of backstory first. So trend watching and Business of Purpose, they are sister brands of each other. So it's not like I'm working an 80 or 90 hour work week, somehow taking on both roles. Our teams work very closely at Trend Watching and Business of Purpose. And what I do at Trend Watching and what we do generally as a company that started around 20 years ago is we use trends and, you know, more macro trends, so consumer behavior trends, not these like Instagram fads. That's not what we consider trends. And we help clients innovate more meaningfully through that. So we work with, you know, some pretty big name clients, you know, MasterCard or Netflix, L'Oreal, those kind of clients, also some more boutique clients. And we just equip them with the knowledge of trends and ever-changing consumer behaviors. So if they want to launch a new product, maybe shift their strategy, maybe enter a new market, then we help them do that. And the way that we do trends research is quite complex. We have a whole ecosystem. The nice thing is that all of the trend analysts on our roster come from very different countries and backgrounds. So we all have our areas of interest in research and language capabilities. And then on top of that, we have a whole trend spotting network. So over 800 people around the world, even living in very rural areas, will feed us these more local trends, because for us it's really important not to be so Eurocentric or so Western in our ideas and beliefs. So I help out creating content for that as an analyst, and because of my background and my interest, I always gravitate more to sustainability and purpose-driven trends. And then that naturally leads me to Business of Purpose and my role there. So I head up all the content and resources. So I work with the community members, and I can also give an intro to Business of Purpose after if you want. But it's if you want, I can do that now.
No, let's do that. Let's do that in a couple of minutes. First of all, of course, I'm very interested in the sustainability trend analyst title first. So it's very interesting that, actually you work with companies and you tell them, hey, guys, this is a trend coming up. You want to do something about it and maybe react like in time on that trend. So that's very, very innovative, and I love that. So what's a current trend maybe we should have on our radar for us and our listeners?
Oh goodness. It really depends. One trend that I was researching recently today, I mean, this is only because it's the first one that's popped up. We have this trend called for and buy. It's been top of mind for me a lot, just for some of the other research I was doing, and I had been talking about brand activism a lot. And this foreign buy trend is essentially the trend that there are innovations and new ventures that are starting that are made by people who, or sorry, from people who are from underrepresented groups for these underrepresented groups. So it's not just these big brands and companies that, you know, will have a branch for hair care products for, you know, Black people who have, you know, obviously different hair care needs. You know, it's actually a company run by, you know, two Black women who from the ground up have started this company. So that's something that's coming up. That's really exciting for me to learn about and to learn about these kind of companies and innovations that are happening.
So if you would start a new business today, where would you start it? In which industry?
Oh, gosh, if I were to start one.
Yeah.
I think what excites me the most is everything that's happening in the food and agriculture sector. I think that that's a really fast-moving sector, and I think that a lot of the innovations that are coming out from there are really exciting in the sense of, you know, big brands are chipping in and also these fun new startups. You know, thinking of regenerative farming or things like insect proteins or, you know, lab-grown meat. That, I think, is really exciting. And obviously, food is never going to go out of style. We need it. And also the fact that we need to feed people sustainably is probably one of the biggest questions that we have. So I think that's, for me, something that I always love reading about. But of course, there's much, much other and very cool trends out there.
Definitely, there are a lot of topics that are already and will be very important also in the future. So Izzy, in our deep dive, as you already mentioned, which did not concern itself with Harry Potter nerd talk also, we also found out that you, on one of your homepages, I think, of your companies, you were described as liking to think big for the next decade in terms of sustainable development or sustainability in general. So what does this actually mean for you to think big for the next 10 years, maybe more?
Yeah, thinking big in that sense, another deep dive into my bio. I like it. I think a lot of the times people are very content and happy in their routine, in their habits on an individual level, but also on a company-wide or professional level. And a lot of people are very hesitant and have a lot of fear on change. And a lot of people perhaps don't get very nervous talking about change or engaging in conversations. But when I think big, I think more radically and change that needs to come in a much short-term vision than long-term. So for me, yeah, thinking big is just has a lot to do with letting go. I think a lot of what we struggle with in building a better world and entering this new business paradigm is a lot of people can't really let go of certain ideas or fears. For example, we were having this discussion yesterday in an event that I moderated on showing up for racial justice. And I think one of the biggest the holdbacks for companies is they understand, okay, obviously, we need to engage in this, and this is something that's important for consumers. It's important for us. It's important for our employees. But one of the biggest holdbacks, of course, is, well, we're going to lose our consumers. What if we lose a very key consumer base? And the thing is you will. You're going to lose employees. You're going to lose consumers. But what comes after that is equity, and that's so much better. So the thinking big is, you know, here we have, I'm talking with my hands, I know people can't see that, but here we have the, you know, a business leader, for example, thinking, in this until this point of, okay, I want to engage in racial justice initiatives, but I don't want to lose consumer base. So then they retract. But thinking big is to go beyond that and think about, hey, okay, what's on the other side of that? So that's how I feel when I say thinking big.
Well, I think even without the listeners seeing your hands, I think they got the big picture you just explained. And we have like a little spy at Business of Purpose. And he told us that your parents took part in that event you just talked about.
that your parents were the guys.
That's another level of deep dive we're entering right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we did our research.
You contacted my FBI agent.
Yeah, yeah. And that little spy told me that your parents asked like the best question ever. And I don't know what the question was, but how does it come about that your parents are now taking part in like your business events?
Because they love me. No,
I know. Which is great, by the way. That's not a negative question, I think.
We should have invited them today, I think, man.
Yeah, and then you're like, here's Ralph and Maria.
shout out.
And they bring all the photos of me when I was young. No, my parents are very liberal-minded people. They are. And we have a lot of... When I visit them and we have dinner together, we always engage in these types of conversations like we're having, Moan Boris. This is kind of what we talk about. I am at maybe a little different of a level than they are. And I think that there's a lot of people in the boomer generation who are liberal minded, but there's a lot of topics that I think they just stay away from. You know, it's kind of like a pick and choose liberal mind. And of course that's a grand generalization. That's just what I feel and what I've seen in my family. And so I really wanted my dad, especially because he also is a business leader. I really wanted him to come to this talk about dismantling white supremacy, you know, 8 p.m. his time, right after dinner.
He's like, okay, Izzy, I'm coming.
And I honestly, I was just as surprised. I did not tell him really, and obviously he knew what the event was about, but we at one point went into breakout rooms and had to do inclusive introductions saying, you know, how you identify. And that could, you know, be, for example, hi, my name is Izzy. I'm a white cisgender queer woman, whatever. So he wasn't used to that or anything. I didn't want to tell him because I knew that maybe he wouldn't come. But then, yeah, when we started talking about it more and more, the question I think he asked was, you know, beyond understanding the benefits to society about why business leaders should engage in racial justice issues, also like as a company, as a team, does that build better culture? Does that retain employees? So he had a few questions like that, and he asked like two or three questions, and I wasn't expecting that. There's actually a voice note from him that I haven't listened to about it, so we'll see. Who was your spy?
I'm not telling.
Oh, no.
I'm like the snitch from Quidditch, but you can't catch me. I just took the train.
So I basically just wanted to say, Izzy, that you know that snitches get stitches, so we cannot disclose our spy. Sorry.
I know that is also something I subscribe to, that motto. So understood. I will find out though. But okay.
All right. So let's start with our purpose preguntas. We have like five quick questions. Boris, why don't you start?
Yeah, for sure. So, Izzy, most important question probably at first, I'm not sure, you can tell me, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Of all time? It's just going to be so sad, though. Like, I want to... Okay, there's two movies. Okay, there's three
That's
movies.
Okay.
How many am I allowed to have?
That's okay.
You're,
also,
you're only allowed to have one. Come on.
Okay.
But not like Harry Potter 1, 2, 3.
No. Okay, so there, this is also kind of a deep dive. There's a film called Mustang. It's a Turkish film, and it is a coming of age story about a group of sisters growing up in a very conservative household and how they break free from that. So it's a very beautiful story. I know that's maybe not what you wanted to hear.
No, it's fine. Just leave it there. It's fine. Mustang is your favorite movie of all time.
And The Lion King. Second.
Ah, you got it in there, Kate. Okay, second question. What's one thing you would love to learn or get better at?
So I started learning a lot of skills during the pandemic. I am a busybody, and the pandemic is my worst nightmare, sitting in lockdown and not doing anything. So I picked up a lot of random skills like rug hooking and chess. But the one that I thought I would be better at by now, and I really want to get better at, is Arabic. So I started learning Arabic. I found a teacher through meetup.com, and every week on Thursday, we have an hour of Arabic lesson, but I still can't really say anything. So it's been months.
That's awesome, actually. I can unfortunately not ask you the next question in Arabic, but I'll work on that.
I won't be able to answer it, so it's okay.
Okay, that fits me well. So what do you think is the biggest misconception when businesses talk about purpose or try to?
That they don't have to fundamentally change anything in their business. I think so many people, I think maybe I was talking a little bit about it or touched on this point before, so many companies see the value in engaging in more purpose-driven initiatives or, yeah, just being generally more sustainable or regenerative as a company. But many business leaders don't actually want to put the work in to change it. And again, there's so many barriers to that, and one of the main ones being fear. So yeah, I would say that they, in order to engage in social change, you also have to change. And I think a lot of maybe individuals also and companies don't really realize how much work that takes, and they don't want to do it.
I hope all the business leaders listening to that right now are like, oh yeah, she's right. We gotta do that stuff. Okay, my fourth question is, the little spy told us that you're also a meme queen, and that, I don't know, I think you like create memes in the Business of Purpose community. So what's the best place to find meme material, or best place to find memes in general?
Gosh, yeah. So the art of memeing, it's, I don't think your spy is the proper term. I actually refer to myself. No one else refers to me as this.
No. Wait, I'll tell you the term. I have it here. You're the,
We have it all, Izzy. I'm sorry. We have it all on you.
Meme connoisseur.
Meme sommelier, yeah. Yeah, or connoisseur.
What? I have connoisseur.
Well, then they didn't read my Slack profile right. But same thing. I just don't have a certificate in it yet. Where do I find the best memes? So what's interesting, maybe your spy didn't tell you, but I don't have social media. I have LinkedIn, which, yeah, let me tell you, the meme pool in LinkedIn is quite dry. So that's not where you want to find your memes. Where you want to find your memes, maybe some certain Reddit threads. I'm part of a couple of Telegram groups that share memes. Do the classic ask my younger cousin, well, not my younger cousins, but a friend from my cousin for some memes. I always have people sending them to me. My parents send me a lot of German boomer memes, which are very funny.
Those are the best ones, though. Yeah.
Those are the best ones. Yeah, constant sources of information. Not as big of an ecosystem as our trends research, but I would say that I've built an ecosystem for meme research. Yeah.
But getting there, I'm sure. So, last but not least, the last question. When, or rather, what was the last time you were actually really amazed by a company's actions that were ideally driven by purpose?
Yesterday, which is good. I think everyone always talks about them, and I do want to give...
Are you talking about Ben and Jerry's? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, got you.
So what Ben and Jerry's did is they made a statement about how they will not be renewing a certain, a license with someone. Basically, they're cutting ties with Israel. And there's not a lot of updates on it yet. I actually checked today on their website. But I think Ben and Jerry's always time and time again, also with their white supremacy statement and dismantling white supremacy, they really show how they really need to put in the work and not just have these beautiful marketing campaigns like Oatly or something. Sorry to shit on Oatly. Oh, am I allowed to say that? Sorry to... I'm amazed with Ben and Jerry's, but there's also so many other companies. For example, yesterday, this wonderful event that I got to moderate, I really am impressed with this. It's a marketing and consultant firm, Hella Social Impact, and they work with brands, and they recently worked with B-Lab US and Canada on, just how to really understand how to show up for racial justice as a company, what does racial equity mean? And they do it in a very cool and very approachable, friendly way. Lots.
Thanks for sharing those insights. So I think now after like half an hour of talking, I think now we should also talk about business of purpose, because we actually invited you because, we're part of your Slack community.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, that's the first time I was like, I actually had the feeling, internet communities can work, like in a business term, because there are a lot of Slack communities out there, especially here in Germany, where they're just like, just join the Slack workspace and then you can just go through there and add everyone on LinkedIn and everyone's gone. Like, I have a feeling that a lot of people do that, but business of purpose is kind of different because it's like very vibrant, or at least that's the sense I'm getting after like being on there now for like 8-9 days or so. So why don't you explain us what's BOP and who are the, like you call them, boppers?
Yes. the head of BOP is going to say, no, we don't. And people come in for the mission, but they stay for the memes. So the question, what is BOP?
Yeah, what is BOP? So the people right now listening to our talk, I'm guessing a lot of you are very eager to hear what you guys are actually doing and how to join the Slack community. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So BOP stands for Business of Purpose, and it's a community that you both are a part of, and we bring together purpose-driven business professionals from around the world. So we're a very vibrant, happy group of over 1,300 members now, and we represent through them over 60 countries and 300 cities, and also everything from big brands to people who are recent grads who are just starting their careers in, you know, this new business world. And how we bring people together is we help facilitate networks. So obviously being part of this big HQ, which is our Slack space, but also offline, COVID pending, of course, we used to have city chapters and they would meet up locally. And and we also hope that we can start bringing that back again. In the meantime, we've done a lot of events, workshops, company tours, panel discussions, and we release content and resources. So we have this podcast, Purpose Talks. Listen to it.
Yeah, of course. Shout out to your podcast. You're on your third episode. Of course, we're fans. And yeah, you can shout out your own podcast. We're going to link it anyway. So no problem.
With better quality of my voice. But yeah, no, it's a really vibrant place, an exciting place to be. And thank you for sticking around. And hopefully you enjoy the rest of your time there.
I will.
We sure will. So you just touched upon or earlier said that you yourself don't have any social media besides LinkedIn. And right now BOP also is, of course, a network. So maybe a basic question starting at the beginning. Why do you guys think that networks actually are that important for businesses and people who are actually trying to make an impact?
I really like that question. Because that is exactly what we do. and B, because from the very beginning of reading and learning about purpose-driven business or sustainable business, time and time again, you read that connecting and collaborating is so key. And, you know, we're in the business of reimagining and creating a new future. And that obviously cannot be done alone. And a story that I hear a lot and engage in, obviously, a lot of conversations with people who first join and have one-on-ones. And what I hear time again with these new members is we're just so happy that we have almost a support group. So a lot of people who are transitioning into this career, let's say we have people coming from Google and Amazon who left, you know, the big tech world, for example, to come and start their own project. And their network is not really representative of their values and how they feel. So a lot of people like to be part of this community and, you know, underline community, because that's how, you know, we are a network, but we also have a lot of give and take. And because it can be really lonely, you know, like there's so many obstacles and distractions and temptations to tear you away from making a really big positive impact on the world. You know, money being one of them, time being one of them, not enough resources being another. And that's changing and that's wonderful. But still, we exist in a time where there's so many reasons why you shouldn't be doing this. And I think that when you have a community, and especially a global community, that backs you and can support you and give you feedback on whatever you need on a daily basis, I think that's a really wonderful thing. And I think that a lot of people, that's what brings them back, and a lot of what we do resonates with them.
Yeah, and it shows actually in your Slack community. So you have you just mentioned circles, which you also have. And everyone who has never used Slack, just in a short form, it's like a business WhatsApp where you have your groups, and you have groups for these circles, for local circles, but you also have on specific topics. And I especially like that you have a channel for a challenge. And I think you do these weekly or monthly, I don't know what the term is, but you have actually a motto for that Slack channel. I love it. And I can see people, if they have an opinion on that question or if they can help, they actually interact. And that's something you can't say to or about all the other Slack communities out there. So props to you on that.
Thank you. Yeah, our solve for good. Yeah,
we yes, do it quarterly. Yeah, I mean that one, yeah. Okay, one topic we talk about a lot on this podcast is greenwashing, or in this case, purpose washing. And as a consumer, which I know you're very familiar with your job, all these trends, consumers are often misguided, and it's so difficult to decide on, is it actually a purpose-driven company where I'm buying that product from? Or is it just a product of a nice marketing campaign? So can you classify or identify a truly purpose-driven company? Do you have a formula?
Yeah, that is a question that I think both companies and consumers have, because I think a lot of companies don't even realize that they fall into the trap of greenwashing and purpose washing and or woke washing, rainbow washing, whatever. I think for me, there's a few steps that maybe from a consumer's perspective that you can take. So for example, Pride is a really great example, and this idea of rainbow washing. So as a consumer, the first step you should take is, you know, and we all have access to social media. Even me, who doesn't have social media, I can access it. You know, are these campaigns just 30 days long, or do you see that they're uplifting the voices of LGBTQ plus people throughout the year? So that's a pretty quick way. So if they're, you know, promoting these campaigns, you can also easily see now, because companies are very present on social media, it's very easy for consumers to do their research. You can see if a company is doing more all year round campaigns. Then the second, which takes a little bit more research, and of course, when you're standing in a store, it's not as easy, is to understand where their money goes. So, you know, if they have a certain product or service, and, you know, they're saying that a certain percentage of these profits go somewhere else, you can, you know, make sure to fact check that. But I really think the first thing that a consumer can do, and I know this is going to seem a little strange, but really see if a company has a purpose statement and show on their company website how they follow that purpose statement. But yeah, I think I do want to say, you know, that I'm sorry from the business community that it is actually quite difficult for consumers to understand, you know, what product it is that they should buy. We obviously have really good certification programs and labels like B Corp, but of course we also know that, for example, recently BrewDog, who is a certified B Corp and who has gone through this rigorous process, something fell through the cracks where they actually don't have that great of an internal employee policy, or they don't take care of their internal employees. And there's been an open letter about that. So, you know, when stories like that come out, it's probably pretty upsetting to consumers. And I want to say that it is difficult. But you can do research. You can ask the companies. So from the consumer perspective, I think it's just always questioning everything and understanding where you can find those resources.
Yes, it's definitely not an easy task for consumers, especially to pick out what's actually purpose-driven product and what is not, because especially nowadays where purpose seems to be like more of a trend rather than an actual mindset. So thank you for these insights. So Moritz, I think we're coming to our last question, unfortunately. Time flew by, really, I have to say. So one, maybe actually two short questions. The first one would be, how do you think can we as the Purpose Projects podcast and BOP collaborate in the near future?
Easy. We could easy. Do a combined podcast. I don't know what that would look like. I've never done it, because as much as people say I'm a podcaster, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm sorry, there's a dog in the background. Don't know where it is.
That's okay.
Yeah, and maybe also having we can have an episode, or you can have an episode where I can handpick a few community members to come on and talk about the projects that they do, just so people get a sense of it. I think I mean, you do this very well, judging by the list of people who have come on your podcast. But there's a lot of people, when they think of purpose-driven business, and this is why I was upset that I name-dropped Ben & Jerry's, but of course a lot of people think of the Ben & Jerry's and the Patagonias and all the B Corps. But there's a lot of smaller companies who are just starting, and ventures that are just starting that are going to be really exciting. And they live in our community. So we can do something cool like that.
That's a good answer, actually, because I'm just now realizing that we sort of like put you on the spot, but you mastered the question really well. Oh. So yeah.
And that's just a couple of ideas. Let me think about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll cut that out later. Yeah, so now you already mentioned like a couple of like maybe smaller companies, and I know you have like just such a good sense for like purpose-driven companies. The last question is always for all our guests: who should we have on our radar, or who should we have on our podcast next or in the near future? What's your hint?
Oof. Oh my God, I feel like my brain just got smacked with like 100 different names.
Take your time, no stress.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say someone that's been on my podcast, but only because this is a topic that is so near and dear to my heart. And maybe they have been on your podcast, but Greystone Bakery. So
you're the second person naming that, right? Isn't that what Camus said?
Crazy,
Polis?
Actually. Man. Yeah, that's actually crazy.
Yeah.
Oh no, I want to think of another one then.
No, that's perfect. That's where we're definitely gonna have to like write them. Yeah, maybe they have the time.
Yeah, so they do. I mean, you're probably familiar, and they do open hiring, and I think that is one of the easiest ways. Someone actually sent me a Slack message today, and they're starting an AI for good company, and they said other than, you know, the small things and maybe like servers they use and whatnot, how else can we be more purpose-driven? I was like, the first thing that you can look at, it's very simple to implement, is your hiring practices. Have you looked at inclusive and open hiring? So yeah, them. And then the other one is Becom, which is a company based in Barcelona, and they work with fashion brands to trace their supply chain. But they do it very rigorous. Like I went into their office and looked at the whole system that they have and how they track. And it's very cool because they equip brands with a QR code. So me as a consumer, I say, ooh, what a pretty dress that is. And then I look at the QR code that says, do you want to know more about where this dress came from? And it takes me to a platform that shows how many hands it's gone through, how their water footprint, their carbon footprint. And it's just this group, these two awesome female founders, from Barcelona, and I truly love what they do. So, and they're a B Corp now.
Sounds awesome.
All right, Izzy. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, for everything, actually. That was a really nice talk, and hope to talk to you soon again.
Thank you so much. I will find out who the spy is.
Thanks, Izzy. Thanks for joining us. Happy to stay in touch.
All right, Boris. Those were a lot of insights from, a truly purpose expert, I would say. Izzy was, very, very insightful. We use that word a lot. How did you like our episode with Izzy?
I absolutely loved it, actually. I have to say I loved her rather nerdy, a little also dorky personality, which I absolutely loved. I think that was really good for our convo, actually, for your little Harry Potter nerds talking also.
And yeah, I set her up, man.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Izzy.
For sure. No, that I think she was all right with it. No, and but not only that, I think we really got the gist of her being a real purpose expert, and just love talking to such creative and knowledgeable people. I think you had quite the same feeling, I guess.
Yeah, I really love her job, actually, like always researching trends and then translating those trends into actionable ideas or actionable strategies. And that under the big umbrella term of sustainability, man, that's nice.
That sounds like a dream job for you, actually.
Yeah, well, I also do that at the innovation factory where I work at, but it's like building more and more, and I'm pushing that, of course, on my personal agenda. But we do more than that, so it's not my 8-hour day each day, like I'm guessing it is for Izzy. But I just wanted to say that Izzy, she's like our purpose raider in this episode. She gave good insights on other purpose projects, and that's I think exactly why both of us decided to invite her to the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Good point, actually. I haven't thought of that like in that way. So now it's good to have like a personified purpose raider, not only one we are actually doing every week. And just loved the episode. I hope our listeners as well. And speaking of the purpose writer, I think episode or volume 12 we're releasing after this one.
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah.
Coming up. So in about a week, we'll be back. And yeah, Moritz, nothing left to say rather than good talk. And see you guys next week.
All right, Boris, thanks a lot, and hear you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.